This is Changing the Rules, a podcast about designing the life you want to live. Hosted by Casey Dempster and Ray Lowe, the luckiest guy in the world.
Good morning, everybody. It's Thanksgiving week. It's a beautiful day outside. And I'm welcoming you to Changing the Rules. I'm Casey Dempster. I'm here with Ray Lowe. We have two great guests with us. And we know that there are a lot of people in the world who really resist change. In fact, I would venture that more people than not resist change. It makes them uncomfortable, and some people have a very strong reaction to it. And we believe that it doesn't matter where the change is coming from, whether it's something that you are going to try to do or if somebody outside of you is forcing you into a change. We think that if you feel that you're in control of the situation, that the change itself will be a little bit more manageable for you. It still might be uncomfortable, but maybe not quite as bad. And we feel that you need to have a plan in order to feel this control. And the game plan can be for the changes that are happening right now, but it also is a good idea if you are in a planning phase to think about what might happen so that you have a playbook to go back to in case the game plan changes because of what somebody else does. So we're going to talk about planning all the time. And so if you're in a position where you are considering retirement, whether it's because you want to or because someone else is forcing it on you, or if you're changing your job, again, because you want to or somebody else is making you do it, or if you just want to jumpstart your life because you're dissatisfied with certain things about it, whether it's personal or professional, try to do a little planning in advance so that you have some control over things and you can really make it go the way you want to. So just because things have always been done a certain way doesn't mean you have to keep doing it that way.
You should never do them the same way. So anyway, happy Tuesday. And, I was watching football this weekend and I noticed that there were a number of teams there that have game plans.
They all have a game plan.
And they didn't work. And they had playbooks that didn't work either.
Yeah, so okay. they need to go back to the drawing board.
Well, so whatever it is, the better planning that you have, the better off you're going to be. And we've got two guests today that are extremely interesting. And let's start with Shelley. Say hi, Shelley.
Hello.
Okay. You had to change the rules. See, I said say hi, and it had to be hello, right?
Well, this podcast is about change, right?
Exactly. And we have Matt Siegel sitting here, and Matt's been here before. Matt, say hi.
Hi.
Thank you. Okay.
See, I follow the rules.
Well, we're going to break some rules here, but let's start out talking about Shelley, and I'm going to let you read the bio, Casey, because I have my own introductory pieces that I want to throw in.
Oh, okay. Well, Ray and I met Shelley back when we were doing our internet TV show, Breaking the Rules, and it was such a great show that we felt that we wanted to bring it back and find out what has happened in the intervening months, because I think that Shelley is a rule changer. But anyway, to give the background, she's the CEO of the Authentic Influence Group, and she teaches persuasive speaking at the Wharton School at Penn. She's led vaccine advocacy for GlaxoSmithKline, worked as a healthcare lobbyist, and served as a staffer in state government. But she told us this the last time we were together. She started to find herself in meetings where the presenter was losing the room and didn't know it. And she started to think about how you can read people and read the room better. And that's what kind of redirected her into becoming a body language expert, which is sort of like a really dumbed down description. But that's what was so interesting. So with that, Shelley, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So you have a title over here. It's called Master of Influence, CEO.
Yes.
So tell us about this, please.
So I found that when I was going out and meeting people, they couldn't quite get their head around exactly what I do. And so I help individuals. It's typically executives in business to really ladder up their skills. So they may have all the technical skills they need for their job, but they don't have those nuances being able to read the room and body language and other things. So really helping them to kind of master their influence in that space. And it's not influence in kind of the
bad way
that you hear thrown around. It's really owning your authentic influence. So I'm not trying to tell people to be something they're not, but sometimes it's just a little shift in how you enter a room or how you think about preparing for an interview or anything like that to get you to level up so that you can be your most authentic self and your best version of yourself.
So it's not just reading the room, but it's also learning how to communicate through your body as well.
Absolutely. So there's something called encoding and decoding. So decoding, obviously, is that reading the room part. But encoding is the opposite side. So when you're putting out, you know, how you're sitting in the room, how you're using your hands to talk, all of those things come into play and help you to be better at your job.
And I'm sitting here and Shelley is using her hands. You guys can't see that, but she is using her hands and she is communicating.
Yeah. And she doesn't look Italian, so it must be intentional.
It is intentional.
So this is so important. And I know that you are now, Wharton School has hired you to be a lecturer there to teach these skills. And they didn't have them when I was there.
Right.
I guess I didn't pay enough tuition. but tell me what you do here. You know, what's the importance of this? How are you influencing these people who are going to be influencers?
Right. So I work primarily with undergrads and graduate level individuals in kind of the business communication. So helping them to do public speaking. So I love this quote by Mark Twain. He says that it takes 3 weeks to prepare for an impromptu speech. And it's so true. You have to get up on your feet and be communicating constantly. And so presenting is such a big part of business and knowing how to present and have that one-on-one conversation, but then get up and in front of a room to be able to do that. And so there's tricks and skills. And depending on the person, it's a little different per person. So something that works for one student or one executive isn't going to work for another. So it's finding what really is key for you personally.
Right. Yeah.
So when you need 3 weeks to prepare, so what do you do? Because I believe that. I think, you get to a certain point where even though you've given a speech 100 times, you practice it.
Right? Absolutely.
And I look at myself and I say, boy, I really don't get it because I still have to practice even though I've given this thing so many times. But what do you do to prepare for these things? In your mind, what do you have to do?
So I think first it's thinking about what that message is. What is that one central theme that you want to move forward, whether it's a presentation or even a business meeting, and staying focused on that central theme and then making sure that it's clear, that there's some structure to that messaging, to that speech, and then delivering it, but being really prepared for it, because what happens is that people get really nervous and they tend to get nervous when they're not prepared. Mm-hmm. So once you're prepared, those other things will automatically come forward. And then just positioning yourself well when you're speaking, making sure you're connecting with the audience as well.
I'm going to tell a quick story on myself that I've tried to share with young people because it was probably in my teenage years was the worst thing that ever happened to me, but it has served me through adulthood. And that was when I was in high school, my father made my sister and I join the Forensic League. Now, that's not forensic medicine or CSI. It was a speech club. And they had three different things. You would either give a prepared speech that had been like the Gettysburg Address that had previously been given, or you could write your own original speech and give it, or you could do the extemporaneous part where you would be given a topic and then you had a little bit of time to prepare, and then you had to present it. So I ended up, and I'm not sure if it was my choice or someone else's, in the write my own speech and present it. So I did. And through the semester, we were entered, our club was entered into contests against other high schools. And I did well every time. And so the teacher, who was the moderator of the club, entered me in an American Legion speech contest. And so I was going to give the same speech that I had given at least 5 or 6 times throughout the semester. And I got up there and I was able to give my opening sentence and then total blank. And I started like 3 times. And finally, I just was standing there not knowing what to do, and I could see her in the wings, like, motioning me to leave the stage. So I just said thank you and left. And I was mortified. I was humiliated. It was horrible. Later on, and it stayed with me with those feelings for all that time, but then when I got into my 30s, I was in a situation where I was going to have to be in front of a group, but I was going to be able to at least have index cards with some notes on it. And I was getting myself really amped up about being nervous about it, and I started to think one day, and I thought, you know what, the worst thing has already happened to you. You already got up in front of a room and forgot your speech. So what could be worse? Because I'm not a thrower-upper. So I figured I wouldn't throw up. But it you know, like every time I would start to get anxious and, you know, throughout the rest of my life, I would remind myself, the worst has already happened. You'll be okay. So
you needed a Shelley.
I did.
You did.
But yeah. I didn't have that.
Well, and I tell my students, no one knows what you're going to say. So as long as you can keep talking, even if it all blanks out, just try to divert if you can in the moment, because that, you know, that's going to carry you through.
Yeah. Okay. Shame I didn't have that at 16.
Yeah.
You have a story that you have on your LinkedIn account.
Okay.
And it's entitled Harness the Luck of the Irish. Now, the name O'Donovan, is that a clue?
O'Donnell. Yes, that is. O'Donovan.
Okay.
Yes.
O'Donovan. Okay. O'Donovan. So tell us that story and tell us what you mean by it.
Sure. So I married an Irishman. And,
lucky
and
you.
Yes, lucky me. And so I've just over the years getting to know his family and friends and my husband as well, I've noticed that they have this really positive approach to life. And so people always talk about the luck of the Irish, the luck of the Irish. Well, I truly believe that it's all in just how we frame things. Mm-hmm. And so when I talk to you know, friends and family from Ireland, I just noticed that they have this really unique way of framing things. So my husband says, what's the worst that could happen, right? If you got up and gave that talk and froze again, you would probably know how to handle it now. And the worst is you just walk off the stage.
Yeah.
So always thinking about how you frame it, always, you know, having a good story, making eye contact with people. I just find that the Irish just have this way of being positive, and it carries through with everything they do, with their body language, with their just how they carry themselves. And so to me, that's really the luck of the Irish. It's in how they frame things.
Yeah, I think the one that popped into my head was they say, I hope that you're in heaven before the devil knows you died.
Something. Right.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
Like, they just turn it around so that it's a positive thing.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you do all these wonderful things for people.
Yes.
How do people get in touch with you if they want to talk to you?
So the best way is to reach out on my website. So it's authenticinfluencegroup.com. Or you can also find me directly at shelley@illuminatethemessage.com. And the illuminatethemessage.com is kind of the very core of my business, which is body language. So that's why there's a little bit of a different switch there. Or they can also call the business phone at 215-490-6895.
Good. And you do all kinds of training, is it?
Or I do. So here? I what? Both. So I go into companies, primarily in the healthcare space and some other areas as well. I've been into realtors and financial experts and give them some training around body language skills to help them open up their influence and some other opportunities for influence as well. And then I also do coaching one-on-one. So I have a select number of executives that I coach one-on-one, and I work with them. And it's usually when someone's transitioning from one role into another. So they're going from like an individual contributor role, and now they have to manage people, and they're finding that either they're not assertive enough or they're not connecting enough with their employees. And so we work on ways to do that and ways to kind of harness that and level them up.
Well, that's cool. And we're going to have your website on our podcast site.
Yes.
Okay.
Perfect.
So people will be able to find you. And speaking of, you do training for financial advisors. So I have one sitting next to you over here. So
is that why I'm here?
Yeah. Say hi again, Matt.
Hi again, Matt.
Okay.
And he's been sitting back, very relaxed. What does that say?
And we're going to cut them. We're going to cut them loose in a little bit, and we're going to get more into conversational mode. But I wanted to mention a couple things here before we did that. First of all, Matt was on our show about a month ago, I think, and we were talking about goals-based financial planning. And I'm going to bring him back to that today because we're going to talk a little bit about our Friends Connection conference, and the purpose of that conference is to help people set their goals and objectives on where they want to go in the future. But there are a couple of other things that I think you need to know about Matt before we go there. One of them is he is the owner, proprietor, financial, the whole big deal with Millstone River Financial Management. Second, though, he's very, very active in the March of Dimes. And I'm going to let him tell us why and what he does there. And he also does something really interesting, which is crisis counseling. So let's start with the crisis counseling. How the heck did you get to that?
Crisis counseling is, in my opinion, the easiest way to have direct impact on somebody and feel good about doing it all at once. It's really more for me than it is for anyone else, if I'm being candid. I wanted to do something that made me feel good by doing good for someone else. And the people I interact with at crisis counseling are often at their absolute life's worst. And things could only get better, right?
Yep.
And so the training I went through was all about helping people get out of that crisis mode. I'm not a therapist. I'm not trained as a therapist. We don't do anything long term. We just want to make sure somebody gets to a safe spot and is not a harm to themselves or to others. And I find that the tactics we use as a crisis counselor are not much different than what we use talking about people's investment portfolios. We have to bring back calm and rational thinking to a person who may resist those things.
Okay, now you're also active in the March of Dimes, right?
I am.
So what do you do there?
Again, just like crisis counseling, it's purely volunteer work. I help with fundraising and all of the activities around advancing the mission for the March of Dimes. I've done a fair amount of advocacy work, speaking with state and federal legislators about the issues that mean the most to moms and babies.
And in between all of that, you run a company and you have a family and... How do you do all this?
I don't know. You'd have to ask all of them how I do it. I'd like to think I do it well. Maybe not. My sort of half blessing and half curse has always been, for as long as I can remember, even back to childhood, that I have a lot of varied interests. Mm-hmm. And so in order to sort of, at least as an endeavor to satiate all of those interests, I have to do lots of different things. And so my day is broken up into those different things. But each of them serves a purpose. You know, yeah. Millstone River Wealth Management is my career. It's how I earn a living. It's how I take care of my family financially. But it is a field that I thoroughly enjoy. I like my interactions with clients. I like helping them achieve things that are important to them. And obviously, it's easier to do it if you have money than if you don't. Mm-hmm. March of Dimes is because I wanted to pay back an organization that I saw as being beneficial to my own daughter, who's now 13, almost 14 years old, but was born prematurely and had significant health issues. And crisis counseling, as I said, that's just a way that every single week I get to touch people in a positive way. And, you know, it doesn't mean it always works out favorably. It doesn't mean everybody's always happy and smiling by the time we're done talking, but that's the goal. And I feel that I don't think there's anything else I do in my life that has greater or deeper impact on a one-to-one basis than that.
Mm. And, you know, it shows all the way through everything you do. I mean, my association with you started 10 years ago when we were looking at joining businesses together. And,
that's right.
And I felt comfortable enough at the end to trust you with all my clients. And I still feel comfortable and trust you with all my clients. And I think a lot of that shows up in the extra things that you do and why you do them. So thank you for being you and thank you for being on the show. And now let's get to the Millstone River piece.
All right.
Okay. Because we have something every year. It's a conference. We call it our Friends Connection
Conference. Can we take a break first?
No, but go ahead.
Ha ha ha.
You're listening to Changing the Rules with Casey Dempster and Ray Lowe, the luckiest guy in the world. We will be right back with more exciting information.
Is it time for the exciting information now?
Yes.
Okay, good. See, I have to get permission for everything I do.
You should be used to that by now.
I should. Okay. So we have this conference every year, and we had, every year we had our first one last year, and we're getting ready for the second annual conference. But, you know, it's the only conference that I think exists where you get to come and think about your personal life and where you're going. You know, we all go to conferences all the time, and we learn skills. We learn body language, and we learn how to do all these other things. But where do you get a chance to go to think about you and where you want to go in the future? And where it fits in is last time Matt was on, we were talking about goals-based planning. And how much better it is that if you can feed your financial advisor your expectations and where you're going and what you're going to do, because that way he or she can arrange to have the money that you need to have in place in the right form at the right time. Is that pretty much right?
Yeah, it's on the button. I mean, the idea is that if you're talking about financial goals, most people think in terms of big things. Paying for a child's college education, that's a big thing, and it gets more expensive every year.
Weddings.
Thinking weddings, that's a big thing. Thinking about retirement. I mean, just think about for a moment. When somebody says, I want to plan for my retirement, retirement is something that occurs potentially for decades in duration, and you have to be able to afford everything in your life, those things you expect and the things you don't expect, without running out of money before you run out of breath.
Mm.
That's a big task.
It is.
And it's difficult, I think, for a lot of people to wrap their mind around all that is involved. So I think engaging a professional firm like ours, Millstone River Wealth Management, is a good way to sort of elicit professional help and guidance, maybe to point out things you didn't know that you didn't know, and maybe it's to help sort of flesh out the things that you're already thinking about. But most importantly, it's to prioritize what do you really want out of that plan.
And that's really hard to do.
So, very hard.
So I can speak from experience here because technically I'm retired. Technically. My wife thought I retired 100 years ago, but technically I'm retired. And I think that what I found is that what you thought you wanted to do before you retired is not necessarily what you're going to want to do, because we add this thing called experience into the picture. And things change. It's changing the rules. It's changing everything.
Right.
So here I am. I'm talking to my financial advisor, Mr. Matt, over here. And I'm telling him that when I retire, I need money to live on. And now maybe I want to take some trips. And now maybe I want to help my children or my grandchildren. And now maybe I want to do some other things. But I'm not sure what I want to do yet because I haven't time to think about it. And I'm going to think about it when I have time, which is after I retire, right?
Yeah.
After I stop earning money is when I'm going to think about how much money I want to really spend. So one of the goals of our Friends Connection is to start engaging these things early. It's to start to think about what are the options are that you may want to think about. And we know that it's impossible to plan for 30 years out and maybe 40 years if we're lucky enough, and many of us will be lucky enough to do that. So if we're going to do that, how do we get Matt his ammunition so that he can help us prepare the way we need to prepare? And I think the only way to do that is you start having discussions about what these things might be before you get there.
Right. So we're going to take another quick break.
Okay.
And then you can get into that.
This is Changing the Rules. Stay tuned to learn more about the Friends Connection and how you can be a part of this valuable life experience.
That was well done. I like that break.
Okay. I'm a smart person. That's why you keep me around.
Okay. So what we're going to talk about at this next adventure is, you know, we can't talk about all the things we're going to do when we retire, but we're going to try and do is pick out some important things and start to delve into maybe what are some of the options that we're going to need and how are we going to do them so that we can then sit down with our financial advisors afterwards and give them a clearer picture of what we think we want, so that he or she can do a better job of getting everything in place and taking care of things. So one of the big things that we're going to explore in here is we're going to explore our lifestyle. You know, we're going to stay in our house. We're going to move and downsize. We're going to move in with our kids. We're going to move into one of these life care communities. Or are we going to do all of them in a sequence? And guess what? The way you do this costs money.
Everything costs money.
Everything costs money. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I'm finding is I'm starting to look at life care communities is to do what I want to do, not to do the minimum, to do what Ray Lowe wants to do. I might have to plunk down $500,000 or $750,000 in one of these things to do that. Well, Matt, I hope you have my money ready.
We're working on it as we speak. Okay.
And it's not just having enough money. It's having it at the right place at the time I need because the stock market tends to do whatever it feels like doing, right?
Well, sometimes part of the plan itself is just to be able to be nimble and make change along the way. I mean, you know, it's something, you know, if we're talking about retirement specifically, I mean, it's something you can't practice. Right. You either are or you're not. And some people become retired and then become unretired because they didn't like the way that they chose their retirement. That happens. Right. We all know someone who's done that. What happens is the cost of living varies a little bit depending upon what it is that you're going to do. Right. And so I think having part of the plan is if you say, you know, and look, there are people, maybe they're in the minority who say, I know exactly what my life's going to look like every step of the way. I'm not going to deviate under any circumstance.
They lie.
But there are many people who never actually figure it out or who think they have it figured out, but it's really quite different. So maybe part of the plan just needs to be the ability to change course.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is. And the more you've talked it out, the more you've kind of looked at options, the better. Now, there's a degree. I mean, you don't have to do all the in-depth research at the beginning, but at least you have to have some sense of where you're going. And this is also true about travel. You know, I love to travel, and my experience with travel is when I thought I was retiring, I had a bucket list. Well, I went through that bucket list in no time. It's gone. And guess what? I now have a bucket list that's 10 times as high as the last bucket list because every place I went opened up three or four new places to go. And I also found out that travel isn't that simple. You have to think about your health. You have to think about how much you can walk and what you can do. So the more I can sketch out where I think I want to go, first of all, the process of sketching it out opens up your thinking. And then the more I can do in thinking about this, the more ammunition I can give to my financial advisor so that he can look at this thing and do some projections and say, okay, here's your travel plan money, okay? And again, you have to be nimble as part of it. Things change, but the more I can give you, the better. And the last piece I want to talk about in here, well, actually there's two. We're also going to talk about concierge medicine at our conference. You know, healthcare is so important today, and how do you get the best and how do you get what you need? So here's an industry that's growing up that we're going to look at. And the final one, which is probably the most significant, is going to be legacy. What's the legacy you want to leave? And is that legacy going to be in the form of money or is it going to be in the form of memories? So I hope you're going to get a chance to join us at this conference. It's actually going to be in Old City, Philadelphia on April 17th, and we'll be sending out lots more. And bring your financial advisor with you because you can sit down and actually can plan out this whole thing while we're doing this kind of a thing. Okay.
Yeah, and if you want to get more information about it, you can go to our website, which is theluckiestguyintheworld.com, and click on events, and you should see an item for Friends Connection 2020.
So let's go back to Ms. Shelley. She's been sitting here waiting patiently over
here. Waving her hands, though, because she's speaking.
And she hasn't stopped, by the way. So the body language was telling me, you better get back to me or else I'll kill you later or something. Okay. So do you have any tips for people? I mean, you know, if you've got to do something, what are you going to do and how do you start?
Right. So if you're just trying to change your presence, the biggest thing is to stay open. So, you know, try to have your posture upright, but also keep your hands open. We oftentimes walk into, you know, we might walk into an interview or into a training session or something with like our bag and it's like, and we've got all this stuff in our hands and we can't really have those hands visible. So making sure that your hands are visible, that you're at a table, if you're eating with people, we've always been taught to put our hands under the table. Mm-hmm. But hands are a sign of trust. So if you don't have the hands visible, your brain can't quite get around the fact that they can trust you. Mm-hmm. So our brains subconsciously do this thing where they're trying to figure out, is this person a friend or a foe? And if I can't see your hands, then I don't know that. So that goes back to when we used to carry weapons. Exactly. Exactly. So those are some really important things to do.
And you are available to give presentations to groups,
yes,
I take it.
Yes.
And you are available to give counseling to individuals.
Yes, absolutely.
And you are available to speak before groups such as Matt's firm or maybe some of the broker-dealer affiliations that you have and things like that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, this is an important thing. If you think about, you know, talk about what I do for a living, but really any sort of professional or guidance-driven field. It's one thing to understand what your client or the person you're helping wants. It's another thing to understand what they need. Mm-hmm. And then it's yet another thing to figure out how to communicate it in a way that they buy into it.
Right.
And if you don't get that buy-in, then really nothing else you have to say is going to matter.
Right.
And I think what Shelley's talking about is incredibly important. I think I've had days when I might have thought my plan was the best thing ever. But if I didn't do a great job of conveying why that was the best thing ever, I didn't get that buy-in. And consequently, we may not proceed in the way that I would have liked. Or maybe it takes more effort on that communication of the benefits type thing. But this stuff's important. I feel like I spend as much time on conveying the benefits as I might on conceiving the benefits.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to be paying attention in our next client meeting.
I don't want to be analyzed here.
I'm going to be watching
these
hands, too. You better keep those hands above the table.
I'm going to sit on my hands while we figure that out.
I think that's an important comment right there, because this isn't really necessarily about sitting there analyzing people.
Right.
It's about being expressive and being communicative and receiving what the other person is telling you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be in two-way mode all the time.
You
right?
do, definitely. And even just getting yourself. So we all have bad days, right, where you're just thrown off or something. But if you have a presentation, if you have a client meeting, just having little tips and tricks to get yourself kind of ready for that, to get yourself excited so that you can walk out and give that presentation and not freeze on the stage. So, you know, listening to music or just doing some posing, like superhero posing before you do that, all of those things can amp up your energy and kind of refocus you to get you ready to take that on.
Yeah. And one thing that I read once, which it was so revealing to me because I know I'm guilty of it, and I try not to be, is that I read that oftentimes when we're in a conversation with somebody and the other person is speaking, we're thinking about what we're going to say, and we're not really listening to what they're saying. So, you know, communication is at the root of probably, I would say, 99% of the problems in the world. You know, between individuals, between countries, you know, it's just, you know, making the assumption that you know what they meant and they know what you meant is a fallacy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have tips on your website that can help
people? I do have tips on my website.
Okay,
yes.
So give us that website once more.
So it's AuthenticInfluenceGroup.com.
Okay, and learn how to communicate better. But we need more than that. It's really a it's really a lifetime of doing things.
I think.
And everything you learn, you can do better. And you know, this whole bit about what I thought I heard you say is not what you said. And if you tell that to your financial advisor, guess what? He's going to do a really good job of doing what you didn't want to be done. Right?
I'm not sure I followed all that.
Well, that's okay. I didn't follow it at all.
Communication. Here.
You know, last thing is a parting kind of a thing. We have another article up on the NASDAQ website.
Yes, we do.
So it's NASDAQ.com. And if you go to the retirement planning section, and I think the name on this last article is It's Not Your Parents' Retirement.
That's correct.
It's yours.
Okay. Well, we didn't have the it's yours part. That's all right. That's understood.
Any last comments before we close up?
Just harness your energy and try to put your best foot forward all the time.
Cool. Matt?
This is Thanksgiving week. A lot of people gather with family or close loved ones, friends. Take a moment to be thankful for them and then think about what you want to do in your life going forward that would, you know, in turn, show them that gratitude that you might have and not always communicate properly. And I think this is a great week to be reminded to do that.
Yeah, it is. It is good to think about.
Go on, Casey, your turn. You're speechless.
No, there's so many things I'm thankful for, and I don't want to use them all up. But I'm thankful that my son arrived last night while I was asleep safely and soundly, and I enjoy visiting with him. I don't get to see him as often as I'd like to.
And our next, what we're going to do is we're taking a hiatus from our podcast for a short time here because of holidays and also because I'm going to be in Europe just for the heck of it. And when we get back, though, we're going to do a double session. And one of our sessions is going to deal with gratitude.
Yeah,
and
that's why I didn't want to use it up.
And what we've found is that gratitude, you know, really thinking about what you're grateful for really has an impact. It tells you what's important in life. And we're going to ask some of our past guests and some future guests to take a minute and talk about what they're grateful for and how they're going to parlay that into next year and future years to have an impact on their lives. So thanks, everybody, for being with us again. And Casey, you want to sign off for us?
Yes. Our next podcast will be on December 17th. So take a break, but come back, and we'll talk to you then. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you for listening to Changing the Rules, a podcast designed to help you live your life the way you want and give you what you need to make it happen. Join us in 2 weeks for our next exciting topic on Changing the Rules with Casey Dempster and Ray Lowe, the luckiest guy in the world.